Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome to Duval Daily, presented by JenJag.com. I'm Jordan DeLugo. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Wednesday, March 27th, second show of the day. ESPN's Matt Miller dropped his 7-round full NFL mock draft earlier today. Massive credit to him, to anyone who does 7-round mock drafts throughout draft season. That is a tough task. Maybe one day I'll be brave enough to do a full 7-round mock draft for the entire league. Alas, today is not that day, but I am going to run through the Jaguars picks in this 7-round mock draft for you, kind of break it down, let you know what I think about how all this shakes out for the Jaguars. Again, an ESPN Matt Miller 7-round mock draft. So at 17 overall, where the Jaguars currently pick, I'm not sure if he did any trades in this mock, but for the Jaguars, it looks like they stuck and picked at every spot. At 17, Toledo cornerback Quinyon Mitchell falls all the way down the board to 17, and this is the first cornerback taken. For me, I'd be pretty surprised if a corner does not get taken before 17 overall. That just seems unlikely to me, with several guys having round one talent, you know, Quinyon Mitchell being one of them. But let's say Quinyon does fall to 17, I would be all over the idea of the Jaguars adding him. He has tremendous physical traits. His tape is awesome, even though almost all his tape he's playing off coverage and just firing downhill. He shows tremendous ball skills. He's able to disrupt at the catch point. He's got great athleticism, ran a 4.33 40-yard dash. He aced every single part of the NFL draft process, from the last couple years of tape at Toledo to going to the Senior Bowl and dominating there to going to the combine and looking like the most impressive cornerback there. Again, size, competitive toughness. He's a willing tackler. He's got all the skills you could want for a cover corner. You talk about adding him to the Jaguars. He immediately, I think, is your top corner. You know, no disrespect to Tyson Campbell or Ronald Darby. He's going to start for you on the outside, I would have to imagine. And I think that he does have the skill set to play nickel for you, but do you really want to draft your nickel corner at 17? I'm not sure. Maybe you do. Maybe you have Tyson and Darby on the outside, put Quinyon Mitchell, at nickel, or maybe when there's three corners on the field, he's at nickel. When there's two corners on the field, he's on the field with Tyson Campbell. I don't know how it would play out, but regardless of how it did play out, I think Quinyon Mitchell would be a fantastic addition. I think the value is there. I think the Jaguars do need more corners, even though they have two guys that can start. Tyson Campbell, final year of his rookie deal. Ronald Darby, he has missed a lot of time throughout his career with injuries, has bounced around a lot because of that. So I think you could definitely use another corner in this pass-happy league, in this division that, while there's some great rushing attacks, as Doug Peterson alluded to earlier this week, there's also C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and Will Levis now has a plethora of receiving options that are high-level options, right? Talk about Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, the rest of that crew. So, yeah, Quinyon Mitchell would be awesome at 17 overall for the Jacksonville Jaguars, in my opinion. I don't think they have to go corner in round one. I don't think they're pigeonholed there like some people have kind of talked about. I think they could easily wait till round two, three, etc. But if you're going to go corner round one, I don't think you can do better than Quinyon Mitchell. And I do like the value proposition of getting a number one player at a high-level position at 17. At 48, this is a really interesting one. LSU defensive tackle Mason Smith. What makes it so interesting is it kind of feels like a balky pick, a Trent Baalke pick. Like, this is a guy who has consistently throughout his career as a general manager, as a talent evaluator, kind of placed a high amount of value on players that potentially could have been drafted higher, but for injury. Mason Smith in 2022 had a massive knee injury. Didn't quite look like the same player in 2023 coming back from it, but then you look at the combine, the testing, he looked incredible. Could Trent Baalke pull a Baalke pick and go for someone who, you know, kind of like Walker Little, maybe has first round talent, but just hadn't played a lot, had not played at that level recently? Could Trent Baalke do that at pick number 48 with Mason Smith? It is possible. I would still be surprised if they took Mason Smith at 48, though, quite frankly, because I just think if you were going to go defensive tackle, why not go Chris Jenkins, whose tape is awesome, who has all the physical traits you could ask for. He's a great run defender. I think he has pass rush upside. I've mocked Chris Jenkins to the Jaguars a lot. I just don't really see the value here for Mason Smith. Maybe in the third round, if you're going to wait till the third round to address the interior of the defensive line, maybe Mason Smith makes more sense there. But there's several guys that are still on the board here that I think at defensive tackle would make more sense for the Jaguars than Mason Smith, again, including Chris Jenkins. At 96 overall, UCF wide receiver, Javon Baker. We've talked about him a lot here on the channel. I love his skill set. Like, this is a guy that I think would be perfect for the Jaguars. I tweeted that out yesterday because, and I would even take him in the second round. So, hey, you flop Javon Baker and Mason Smith, and I'm all on board for this draft, right? But UCF wide receiver Javon Baker, he has good size. He has good strength, athleticism. He has the ability to cut on a dime and create immediate separation. He also has the ability to go up and catch the football in contested catch situations, can high point it down the field, can go up and get the football in the red zone for you, score touchdowns. I just think that his skill set would be really nice to complement what the Jaguars have. He could come in and be your Z receiver opposite Gabe Davis. You have Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram in the middle. You still have Zay Jones, but I would love adding Javon Baker to the mix as well. At 114 overall, this is another kind of Baalke pick, in my opinion. Kansas edge Austin Booker did not have the most impressive combine, but this is a guy who, as a designated pass rusher for the Kansas Jayhawks, has a lot to offer, like great length. He has good flexibility. He really flashed a ton for the Jayhawks and at the Senior Bowl, and he's kind of raw. He needs some seasoning, right? He needs certainly to add some strength and mass to his frame, but this pick here in the fourth round would kind of remind me of the Jordan Smith pick from several years back for the Jaguars. Austin Booker, yeah, I could definitely see if he's there in the fourth round, the Jaguars being interested in adding him to the mix. Would he be my highest graded edge on the board at this point? Certainly not, but I could see the Jaguars going in this direction. At 116 overall, Mizzou offensive tackle Javon Foster, another player that feels like a Baalke pick because...
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Craig doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's extremely experienced, comes from the SEC, has very long arms. He's a pretty good athlete overall. He doesn't have like an amazing 40-yard dash, but you look at the 10 split, which is more important for offensive line prospects, and I think that Javon Foster had a very nice 10 split overall. Nice athleticism overall, ton of experience. He's a Baalke type of pick. I think talking about the fourth round, I could definitely see that. At 153, kicker Will Reichard out of Alabama. I've been mocking him to the Jaguars a little bit later than this, granted. But for a long time, I still think the Jags need a kicker. Joey Sly is not the answer at kicker. Riley Patterson, Love him. I love his accuracy inside of 50 yards. But you got to have somebody with a bigger leg. Will Reichard has a very big leg. Like, he's been good from 50-plus throughout his career. He's been extremely accurate inside of 50 yards, doesn't miss extra points. He's good on kickoffs. I say give this guy a chance. And, you know, would I take him at 153? If I'm convicted, if Heath Farwell is in my ear, you know, Jaguars special teams coordinator, like, this is our guy, sure, I would absolutely do it. I do think it adds a little bit of pressure to a kicker getting drafted that highly. Although 153, I mean, if you can't handle that type of pressure, you probably weren't going to make it anyways. So I'd be okay with drafting Will Reichard at that point. At 212, Miami center Matt Lee played at UCF most of his career, transferred to Miami this past season. Matt Lee is an interesting one because he's a tremendous pass protector, a very, very good athlete, like elite athlete at center. I think he's only about 300 pounds, but great athlete, very good pass protector, a guy that I really like at this point in the draft. I think he would be a fantastic pick. He doesn't quite have bulky length on the interior, but we have seen later down the draft, Trent Baalke will kind of let some of his standards, some of his requirements, his thresholds go by the wayside if he likes a player. I like Matt Lee a lot. I don't know that he really looks like a Trent Baalke type of pick, but the one thing I will say here, the Jaguars brought in Mitch Morse. They say they still believe in Luke Fortner. Matt Lee has never played anything but center. Like, he's not somebody who has played a lot of guard or anything else in his career. He looks like a center only, and at that weight, I don't think you can really play guard, you know, sub 300 or right at 300 pounds. You'd be really pushing it there. So are the Jaguars going to carry three centers? Are they going to try to trade Luke Fortner for a bag of peanuts? That one doesn't make a ton of sense to me. Like, I'd be good with it because I'd be fine with moving on from Luke Fortner at this point, even though I really liked him in the draft. It just hasn't been working out. And I think Matt Lee will work out in the NFL as a good pass protecting center, as a great athlete. But from a roster composition standpoint, I'm not sure how that would work, quite frankly. And again, I say trade Luke Fortner. I don't think anybody's trading anything for Luke Fortner at this point. At 236 overall, edge Nelson Caesar out of Houston. This is a prospect the Jaguars have met with, so you can connect the dots there. But he fits the mold of a Jaguars edge rusher, right? He's 260-plus pounds. He has very good length. I've talked about him. I've mocked him to the Jaguars before. 34-inch arms, I believe. He's got an inside spin move. He's got explosiveness. I just think at this point in the draft, when you're talking about adding a potential edge that can come in and contribute to your rotation, you know, I would take Nelson Caesar over Austin Booker, quite frankly. Even though I know Austin Booker might have more upside, I think Nelson Caesar has a much more stable projection. He's very productive out of Houston, had a nice Senior Bowl, nice testing overall. I'm a big fan of him at this point in the draft. So overall, I think this would be a really interesting draft for the Jaguars. I'd be in on it. I don't think that there's never going to be a Jaguars draft where I agree with every pick, and I certainly don't agree with every pick here. Like, again, Mason Smith to me in the second round, I just think that you are missing on some value at that spot. But Trent Baalke could sit here and tell you this was a five-star recruit. He has all the talent in the world. The combine showed you his athletic traits. We just want to get him in here and develop him. And, you know, he might not be wrong, but I do think there's some players that present more value at that spot. And then in the fourth round, I think that those two picks just made so much sense for Trent Baalke, Austin Booker and Javon Foster. So, yeah, I'd be happy with this one. I think that this would represent not only a realistic sort of Jaguars mock draft, but something that fans could get excited about because you are adding a talented wide receiver in the third round. You are adding, in my opinion, the best cornerback in this class. Right there with Kool-Aid McKinstry. I have Quinyon Mitchell just ahead of him, Terrion Arnold just behind those guys. But if you're adding a CB1, a starting wide receiver, a defensive tackle that could end up being an impact player as a pass rusher for you on the first couple days of the draft, and then you're adding a lot of quality talent, getting a kicker who should be able to beat Joey Sly and Riley Patterson for the job, I think you could be pretty fired up about this draft. Let me know what you think in the comment section below about this draft from ESPN's Matt Miller. If you enjoy the content, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Y'all have a good one.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.